Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Casa Bonita podcast. I'm Claire Spar. This is season 2, episode 4, released on April 2nd, 2021. The first segment of today's episode was recorded on March 21st, 2021. The second segment was recorded a few days later on March 25th. Today, I'm sharing a fun conversation I had with my spicy, saucy friend, Sarah Rosenbaum. On today's show, Sarah and I talk media, Casa Bonita, because duh, and then we explore the classic Alfred Hitchcock film, Rear Window, and what it would be like if it were set in Sarah's neighborhood, the area newly renamed Central Park. Anyone who has ever lived in a place where your neighbors are all up in your business can appreciate today's episode. Having watched the movie is not a prerequisite. After my call with Sarah, I will talk about mental health hacks with my favorite Lakewood-based health coach specializing in behavior change, Jenny Page. Anyone who dabbles in lots of projects like I do can understand the messiness of the creative process. Sometimes you want to make creative changes. Sometimes your computer stops working. Sometimes you burn yourself out on season 1 with weekly episodes and way too much editing and have to pare down in order to keep going. Truth be told, season 2 of the Casa Bonita podcast is stylistically informed by all of these factors. This season will have some different sounds and vibes than what listeners of season 1 have grown accustomed to. Throughout season 2 of the podcast, my awesome, smart, funny guests help me reimagine some of our favorite movies as if they were set in Greater Denver. Episodes will drop every other Friday, unless I don't feel like editing, in which case they'll drop eventually. I had to stop releasing episodes every week, you guys, because that is not how I actually make money, and I needed to slow the production pace. Speaking of money, the way I do actually make money is as a real estate broker and co-owner of Bluebird Real Estate Group, a boutique residential real estate brokerage serving the entire Denver Boulder areas with offices in Lakewood and Longmont. I'm the employing broker and I've been working in real estate for over 8 years. Bluebird is made up of 4 kick-ass agents and you can find us online at www.bluebirddenver.com. We are a growing brokerage currently accepting experienced agents who want local support, competitive splits, and zero Kool-Aid. If you think you might be interested in joining us, check out our website. Again, that's www.bluebirddenver.com. Are you a return listener of the show? If so, please consider writing a 5-star review of the Casa Bonita podcast on Apple Podcasts or on our website, www.casabonitapod.com. Now, on to my conversation with the unparalleled world traveler who is losing her mind during quarantine, Sarah Rosenbaum. Sarah and I met online on a video call, and I had to cut our conversation off a little earlier than usual because I had an appointment that I couldn't miss. So I might be popping in to provide a little extra context here and there. As the recording started, I was toasting Sarah with my glass of red wine and showing her the bottle of Riuniti wine that some guests at my Airbnb property recently left behind unopened. This sent us on a memory lane tangent. Maybe you'll like it. And there we are. Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in, if that's okay with you.
Sounds
great. Drinking my vino.
Nice.
Somebody left this behind at the dome.
Riuniti. Oh my God. I didn't even know they made that still. That's terrific.
It's like carbonated, which like took me by surprise.
I forgot about that. I think I stole a big bottle of that from my parents' liquor cabinet when I was like 14.
I just like whatever falls into my life, I'm like, I'll drink it.
Sure.
Thomas I'll is take cooking it. Wine, like whatever. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So today I am speaking with my dear friend, Sarah Rosenbaum. Cheers, Sarah.
Cheers.
And we're holding up our respective beverages to our cameras on our computers. And so, Sarah, we met through Yelp, right?
We did.
I think it was a book club in Yelp.
There was a book club.
But just like lots of events. We just kept running into each other.
We did. I know there was book club. I believe we had, I don't remember what the book was, but we had a book club meeting at a Eritrean restaurant on Colfax.
Yeah. The book was What is the What?
Okay. Yes. Was that about Sudanese refugees?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. It's been a while.
And then we also went to the 80s prom together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not together, but we were there together. We were enjoying
the moment. We were there simultaneously.
Yes.
Partying.
It was fun.
I think that might have been my favorite Yelp party.
You know, I didn't go to a ton of them, but I'm glad that the few that I went to, I was able to meet some really cool people, you and a handful of other folks. So.
Yeah. Well, so for you as well as our listeners, just a little background. This is season 2 of the Casa Bonita podcast. And this season I am exploring what makes Denver uniquely Denver, you know, like what gives it its unique sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I'm exploring it, as you know, Sarah, is watching movies and then talking about them with friends and then reimagining them as if, what if this was in Denver or Colorado, you know, but we're kind of a little more Denver centric on the show. So
that's right.
So that's the little intro, and it's been really fun so far. I've done Crocodile Dundee.
The classic.
Yes. You know, only the classics. The Maltese Falcon. And then the other one was, Cloverfield, which is this like horror
I listened to that episode. I was not compelled to watch the movie. It didn't sound like my kind of fare, but I like the idea, and I'm glad that you've invited me to talk about Rear Window. I think I have some fun hot takes on how we can make it Denver-centric.
Before we do that, I would love to know what things are getting you through this super shitty pandemic. Are you reading, TV, movies, music, just whatever is filling your cup?
All of those things.
Yeah.
In the privacy of my own home. you'll hear me say sometimes, I was just reading. But the truth is, I was listening to it on Audible. I love to read, but I have a crazy lab who needs to walk an hour a day. So I listen to a lot of Audible books, and I'm rereading / listening to Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, right now. I highly recommend that one. It's kind of, I go back to it fairly frequently.
That's awesome.
Have you read it? Do you know what it's about?
I vaguely know what it's about. I haven't read it. I'm making assumptions. I'm assuming it's about like mindfulness, like being present.
Yes. Like, yes, exactly. I mean, I've taken a lot of really good lessons from it, but, one of the big ones is, you know, don't waste your time thinking about the past. That really creates sort of regret and negative feelings, mostly, for a lot of people, I should say. And if you spend your time in the future worrying about it, that creates anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time for that. I'm about the now, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just a lot of books, a ton of movies, and baths.
I love it.
Bubble baths. And I'm really stoked for when the weather gets nicer. you know, I like to do a lot of outdoor activities. And the last couple of weeks with our 2.5 feet of snow a week ago, I just haven't been able to get out as much as I like to.
My throat just made a weird little gurgle noise. I don't know if the mic picked that up.
Well, and I don't know if you could edit it out if you were into that, but you know, why not leave it in and just be fully human?
I think that's the angle I'm going for this season. Last season, I got a little carried away with editing out the likes and ums and the weird pauses, and I just got kind of tired, you know?
Sure.
So this time I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. This is a conversation empowerment podcast.
Right on.
We're about being real. In fact, my cell phone just buzzed and I'm not editing that out. So I've been reading. One of my goals is to, I've watched a ton of movies also, which, and it's been really fun. And that's kind of why I wanted to do movies this time, because mm-hmm. it's always fun to talk about movies. And last night, by the way, Zephyr, for my listeners, it's a Zephyr is my 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old son. He is really into the Ernest franchise movies.
Oh my gosh. Is it still the same guy?
Oh yeah.
What's up? What's up, Vern? That
uh-huh.
guy?
Yep.
Oh my God. He's still alive?
Well, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't know if he's making new ones. I think it might be set. Last night I fell asleep to him watching Ernest Scared Stupid, which is the Halloween one.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I really liked Ernest Goes to Camp, but I can't find it anywhere streaming. So that's a bummer. but what I was going to say is my current little obsession goal is to like learn, just become fluent in Spanish. Just
muy bien.
Once and for freaking all.
Muy bien.
And when I like reading, and so I'm and I normally read more than you would think is humanly possible, using audiobooks and going back and forth, you know, like I don't think there's any cheating in that at all. Just like however you get the data into your brain works.
Right.
And so I've been reading this Isabel Allende book.
Which one?
El Cuaderno de Maya.
Ah,
so
Maya's en español, notebook. Entonces.
Mm-hmm. And so bien. I'm like 58% through, according to my little Libby app estimates. Mm-hmm. I'm like 4 weeks out from being done. It's a pretty short novel, but you know.
I think that's great. I applaud you. A lot of people don't have the patience for that. So
well, thank you.
You know, to do a foreign language and
everybody's got their little thing. And I think I kind of like things to be like slightly punishing. So I'm like, I know, I'll read it in a language that I don't actually really know very well.
Well, I like to watch a lot of foreign films because uh-huh. since we can't go anywhere, I pretend I'm somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's kind of fun. If it's a Spanish language film, I will try to not pay attention to the subtitles and mm-hmm. see if I get it.
Uh-huh.
But apparently I'm not fluent anymore. So I don't get every word, but I find that it really reinforces because you can listen and read it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, you know, a little bit of Italian that way.
Oh, nice.
I watch a ton of Netflix, you know, their international stuff. So,
That's awesome. I have dabbled in a little Italian on Duolingo, and it's, I'm going to sound very cliche, mm-hmm. but it's a very beautiful language.
It is.
It is so beautiful. Just learning the introductory stuff is so fun. And I think I just kind of like learning language. So it's fun to
well,
me.
It's so similar to Spanish. And I thought that would be an advantage for me. In college, I took them. I have a Spanish minor, but I was in some advanced Spanish class, and I thought, hey, let me take Italian, you know, that's sorry, Italian American friends. I don't know. That was really bad. Like Chef Boyardee came into my body for a second, but, it ended up not working very well because I would mistake, I would use Spanish words in my Italian test.
Yeah.
Not so much Italian in my Spanish, but I goofed quite a bit. I find it to be more complicated. It's closer to like French, in that, I don't know, maybe Spanish. I've just been speaking it so long, it's easier, but, it was harder for me.
Yeah.
So I only took one semester.
And you were like, this is enough. We're done.
I was like, okay, I'm interested in this, but I don't need to get a grade in it.
Right. That's an empowering moment to realize that as a young woman in college, you know, I don't really need to be graded on this. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know. I still have a fantasy that I'm going to meet some, you know, handsome Italian billionaire or something.
Yes, who loves to cook.
Of course. I mean, and his family owns a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of intricacies. We could go into some other time.
This fantasy.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have a whole podcast dedicated to talking to people about their fantasies.
Oh my gosh. Season 3 coming right at you.
Let's do it.
And I feel like if that happens, we should both have a bottle of Riuniti.
Yes. Absolutely.
They used to have a commercial, and I'm going to have to look it up on YouTube after we talk.
Okay.
But it was like, it went something like Riuniti on ice. It's so nice. I want to say that was the tagline. I know it was Riuniti on ice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, I'm going to look at it on YouTube. It was probably late 70s, early 80s. So there you go. I'll send you a link. You'll love it.
I'll include it in the show notes, listeners.
Okay. Excellent.
So before we go into the movie, one more little segment that I like to do. I want to know. So this is my little build up to this.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard me explain this already. But I believe that everyone of a certain age plus or minus like 15 years knows all the words to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. And similarly, everyone who lives in Colorado has some visceral reaction to Casa Bonita. It's not 100% good. It's not 100% bad. It's just, it's a thing. It's a phenom. I would like to know your Casa Bonita feelings. If you have stories, I would like those. Whatever you feel like sharing.
You bet. It's a uniquely Colorado, or I would even say, you know, Denver experience.
Yes. Yes.
So many people know it through South Park. So it's got sort of international notoriety now. But I do remember going there. So I grew up in Nebraska. I've been here 20 years, but my cousins lived here, and so we made frequent trips out here. And I remember going there as a kid. I don't remember when, you know, youngish, but I'm 51. So I don't, when did they open, Claire?
I think it was 1973.
Okay. So I was thinking it was probably late 70s. That was my first time, and I don't have really strong memories of it. I do remember this a subsequent time, maybe the second, maybe more, was when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 1984. I tried to find, I know that there's a picture of me and my best friend at the time. We had gone on a road trip with her father and came out here, and we were full on 80s. The picture is awesome. I was so wishing I could find it. But that, you know, the cliff divers, the whole bit, I think I was so young and dumb that I didn't even know the food was bad yet. I don't recall any memories of the food at the time, but so, you know, you've got Zephyr, I've got Roman, who's now 15, and I have taken him there several times when they were still open. I hadn't recalled that the food is really worse than a, like a microwave burrito. Like I would rather have a microwave burrito. Yeah. But just like everybody else, of course the sopapillas are hot and they keep them coming. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can have a margarita, but it's a really unique experience. Kids love it. And I just really hope that they open back up. It would be a shame. I think there's a couple of places that are closed. And maybe this is a decent segue into my neighborhood, but you know, Casa Bonita is closed. And I have to think that there's so much mystery surrounding the finances of the place. And mm-hmm. like the owner hasn't been very forthcoming with what's going on, but I have to believe that if they can't make it, some investors would try to salvage it. You know, it's too much of a landmark, and with a little bit of investment, you know, I'm not even talking about making good food. I'm just talking about like bringing the place up to code. I don't know. You know, there's just nothing like eating really bad Mexican food to the smell of really strong chlorine from the pool. Anyway, I miss it. I hope it reopens. The other place that I hope reopens is the former air traffic control tower in my neighborhood, which used to be an airport. And now it is, you know, it's an infill project or semi-urban in that it's located in Denver proper, but has all of the pitfalls and it has some of the benefits of the suburbs. Like I have a walk-in closet for the first time in my life.
There's really nice like paved paths.
Yeah. There's some really nice things about it, but I am, it's also very much like the burbs in that the houses are close together here. Actually, that's not like the burbs in some places, but, the houses are close together. It's a lot of white people, said the white girl. But there's not a lot of diversity here. And that was really reflected, you know, in the past year. We just finally changed our name after several votes that had very low turnout. So I don't consider them necessarily representative, but folks in the neighborhood voted to keep the name of the former airport. I'm not going to say it because he was a Klansman and a leader of the city and had a lot of power and was, you know, affiliated and participated in the Klan and hired a police chief who was in the Klan. So I thought it was important to change the name of the neighborhood, but not everybody shared that opinion. Thankfully, we've changed it. So now we're Central Park. But that wonderful old air traffic controller control tower was turned into a restaurant, which is now sitting empty also, which is, you know, a real sad casualty of the pandemic.
Yeah. So did they close?
Well, or do you know? So here's a weird twist. Unlike the private ownership, I believe it's private ownership of Casa Bonita. So there was an investment group that I guess sold most of their shares, controlling interest anyway, to wait for it, the Cracker Barrel. Pre-pandemic. What was Punch Bowl Social is now closed. Here in Stapleton, the one on Broadway is still open. but excuse me, oops, I said the word, here in Central Park. Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
So I guess the Cracker Barrel needed whatever, you know, disposable funds they had, whatever capital they had, they needed to invest in their Cracker Barrel stores and didn't have money to keep it afloat. So, but I'm pretty confident some investors will come along. They spent, I can't even imagine how much money they spent refurbing that place.
Retrofitting it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a neat, really neat space. And I'm hopeful that it opens again.
That's awesome. Well, now is the time. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. It's movie time.
Excellent.
And for, as we mentioned earlier, listeners, we are talking about Rear Window. I don't know what year it was made, actually. I have.
I want to say 57. No, 6. Okay. Let's use Google instead of me just throwing out random
years. Oh, I got it.
1954.
Okay. So I have the original New York Times book review, or not book review, movie review.
Okay.
And I'm not going to read it. Because it's kind of long, and I don't know what the copyright issues are.
Okay. Well, let's not land ourselves in a lawsuit.
Yes, but it's directed and produced by Alfred Hitchcock. It's based on a short story called It Had to Be Murder by Cornell Woolrich. And I think it's one of the best movies of all time. It's just short of 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
It's got Jimmy Stewart, Grace Kelly. As a young girl, when I watched the movie, I hadn't seen this movie since my tween years, probably.
Uh-huh.
And I always think of it as a movie about Grace Kelly.
She lights up the screen, that first scene that she's in.
She does.
In that
dress.
Cocktail dress.
Oh my God.
And they come in close on her face and she's flawless.
Yes.
She's stunning. Just amazingly beautiful human being.
Yes. Yeah.
She is a star for sure. Star of the silver screen.
So even though technically Jimmy Stewart is the main character, in my book, it's Grace Kelly.
Yep.
Lisa. Until I watched it today with subtitles on, I thought her name was Lisa with a Z, because that's how Jimmy Stewart pronounces it.
That's funny.
It's a hard S, folks. Mm-hmm. Lisa. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is how I've been doing it with other guests. Tell me what you think. I have the plot points.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning to just like read a little bit, and then we could be like, if this was in Denver, this, or, but it does sound like you have some thoughts and hot takes. So I'm willing to go in any direction you want to go.
I thought about this one. When you sent the list of potential candidates mm-hmm. for movies, this one jumped out at me. I have to give a shout out to my father who is passed in 2014. But there are a lot of things that he introduced me to that, you know, will always be with me and are special memories.
Mm-hmm.
And Rear Window is one. There was a Hitchcock Film Festival in the 80s. I think I was probably in my, you know, I was probably 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw this movie for the first time in an old theater.
Oh, how
cool. You know, like probably a theater that was built in the 20s. It was kind of a deco, neat old space.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great. And we saw like the whole series of the Hitchcock Festival. And so I have really special memories of that. That's why it jumped out at me. And then I just got to thinking, I could really adapt this to this urban, suburban situation that I find myself in here in Central Park.
I love it.
And even just to make it a little bit more flavorful and timely, I reimagined it during the pandemic.
Oh, I love that. You're amazing.
So, yeah.
It's like the 2020 version of having a broken leg.
Well, exactly.
Stuck in your house.
We're stuck in our homes, right? And I've got a couple other twists on it that I think modernize it in a fun way. So,
oh my God.
But this is your podcast. I'm honored to be a guest, but I don't want to, I can steamroll people frequently. So,
oh, please steamroll me. You You're invited.
No, well, so I don't know if you want to give the listeners any more context about. So you said he has a broken leg.
Yes.
Or did you?
So the main character, played by James Stewart, also known as Jimmy Stewart, is named L.B. Jeffries, and everybody calls him Jeff. He is a journalistic photographer, mm-hmm. and he does, like, he goes to the limit to get the best shots. And that's why he has a broken leg, because he went out in the middle of like a race car track to take pictures of a race while it was happening. So he leads this amazing, adventurous, life. And he is, you know, I assume they live in New York, right?
Oh, for sure. It's New York. Yeah.
And, he travels the world and, you know, covers all kinds of stories, and it's a dangerous, sexy life.
Yeah.
And he is homebound for 8 weeks because he has a broken leg. And he has this like feisty nurse that comes every day.
Right. Is that Stella?
Stella.
I want to say that was Stella. Yeah.
I love Stella. She reminds me of Carla from Cheers.
She's got that sort of, she's not real polished, and but that's what you love about her.
But she's like kinda gritty and like.
Yeah, she just kind of calls it like she sees it. She doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah. And then, and so he's just trapped in his house. Like we've all been trapped in our houses, and
that's
he's just looking out his rear window, watching his neighbors, mostly the Miss Torso. That like, I think
Miss
she's
Torso
like a belly dancer or something.
She's some. Yeah, she likes to do her, whether I don't know if it's actually exercise or practice, but in her bra and panties, which I rewatched it also. I've seen it a number of times, but I thought I would give myself a refresher, and that must have been pretty scandalous for 1954.
I was kind of thinking that too. Yeah, she's got some skimpy clothes on. She's adorable, of course,
Adorable. Yeah. So that was, I felt like I don't have a broken leg, but I certainly have been, especially with this being the season of snow here, March being the snowiest month, I've certainly been homebound, between the pandemic and the weather. And so that's instead of the broken leg. And I used to travel almost every week for work. I haven't been on a business trip since March of 2020, which is fine.
Yeah.
The business part I don't miss so much, but I do miss traveling for pleasure.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to doing that hopefully, in 2021, if possible. I related to that. And then, but instead of, so he watches out of his rear window, and it's, if folks haven't seen it, he looks out on a courtyard of apartment buildings. So he has, he can see Miss Torso. There are a number of other folks that
little
there's
characters.
There's a Miss Lonely Heart. That's terribly sad kind of story, especially for a divorced single person that could relate. That one hit differently when I watched it this time. But then there's a couple of newlyweds, and they end up pulling their shades, so he doesn't you know, 1954 was not ready for what the newlyweds had going on.
But the husband does come out to the window every now and then to get a breath of fresh air.
He does.
And his new wife is like, Henry.
Yeah.
And he looks exhausted.
That's true. It is a really a time capsule. And I have to say that was the other thing that stood out to me a little bit, that as a young woman, a teenager in the 80s, I just saw it so differently this time. There's just some, like, the misogyny that was just sort of accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess we should say that, you know, they think somebody killed, Mr. Thorson? Thorwald?
Oh, let me check.
The guy who they...
Where's the name? Thorwald.
Thorwald, yeah.
Lars Thorwald.
Lars, yes. So Lars and his wife, she is characterized, when I read a synopsis, as a harpy and a nag. You know, all of these things that it's like, okay, that's... That doesn't work after Me Too very well. So I don't know. It's very dated in some ways, but I think I overcame it. I was like, okay, this is still a classic.
Yeah.
But I live in this neighborhood that the houses are close together.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is true. You know, a lot of neighborhoods have the sort of horrible next door, the nextdoor.com.
Yes.
Where, you know, people like to report people for the most ridiculous things. But so we've got that. And then there's Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. As a former resident of this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a community watch page. There are all these pages that people just, I mean, it's really tempting to stay away from them or to, mm-hmm. what's it called? You know, just like unsubscribe to them, but it's kind of a
gold mine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just such a view into what people really think.
And, oh, you know. Totally. And it's completely unselfconscious.
Yeah. There's a lot of wars. There's like vaccine wars. There's, you know, they're all kind of, So anyway, it's that kind of neighborhood. And one of the things that happens, so I'm getting to this, Jimmy watches a little bit just with his naked eye, a lot with the binoculars. And then later in the movie, he gets out his like big lens that he uses mm-hmm. for his photography, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But the modern version is, Ring doorbells.
Yes.
Fucking Ring doorbells. Am I allowed to curse?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I should have asked that. But yeah, so anytime anything happens, I mean, there's so many porch pirates in all neighborhoods, but the residents of this neighborhood, I think it's a phenomenon that's unique to us.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I don't know. I think they're everywhere in the whole country, not just our neighborhood, mm-hmm. but, you know, the videos that people post, and sometimes they are really sort of like, what was going on there? But, so instead of, looking through binoculars, imagine this character looking through their home security system, which includes, you know, cameras at the door and, you know, all over the place, like this surveillance
backyard
that we live in.
Alley.
Yeah. Anytime my dog takes a shit on somebody's yard, I always have bags with me. Don't get me wrong. I'm a respectful neighbor. I know there's not a poop fairy.
Right.
But I'm always like, oh no, am I like on somebody, you know, am I going to be a bad guy? Am I going to
see this on Nextdoor?
Yeah. Am I going to see this? I'm not on Nextdoor, just to be clear, because that is too obnoxious, but I just can't quit Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, you got me, brother. Anyway, yeah, it's that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's this network, because he does Jimmy Stewart in the movie, right? He starts out explaining what he thinks is happening, and everybody really thinks at first that he's just going stir crazy and he's nuts. But so he's got Lisa that you mentioned, and yes, Stella, the nurse. Mm-hmm. And then he's got an old army buddy, because of course it's the 50s. He's got a old army buddy. He's got to be a vet. Yeah. So he calls him up, who's now a cop, a detective, maybe even. And, you know, of course he's very dismissive, but so he's got this real life in person people that come to him. And they all sort of get sucked into it.
Yes.
And that really reminded me of, did you still live here when there was the guy? This was legit bad crime. Like, there was a guy breaking in to people's homes, doing like kind of home invasion type of scenarios. I want to say it was the summer of 2019. It wasn't during the pandemic.
I was gone. Okay. Then.
Yeah. No, this was and they caught him finally, but it was like the whole neighborhood was like vigilantes. I was worried that the guy was going to get killed.
Yeah.
I mean, not terribly worried, because he was breaking into people's homes while they slept and stealing their shit. But you know,
You saw a snowball form.
Yeah. I was afraid somebody was going to get killed.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it might not. Anyway, with all the sort of vigilantism that people were talking about, trying to, you know, set traps and do all this shit.
When I imagine people setting traps, I imagine like those like bear claw trap things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a box with a stick and like a peanut butter sandwich as bait, you know?
Yeah, no, I
have a very sophisticated criminal mind.
I like the Looney Tunes angle. I'm seeing like a lot of Roadrunner and the TNT.
Have like a thing with like a fake wall with like a painted window for him to like exit out of, but he just like runs into the wall.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in this one, I haven't decided if the crime is murder. I think it is more, you know, somebody, maybe there's a dog poop bandit, probably.
Yes.
I mean, we could go darker, right? We could, but I don't know. That's not my jam. So I didn't really think of anybody as killed. Murdered. But I feel like the whole neighborhood would get in on it and be sharing their videos and, you know, speculations on social media.
Yes. I'm trying to direct my little wine burps away from the microphone. I think that your version is brilliant. I love it so much.
Thank you.
It's so perceptive. And I love the way it ties to your life experience, because you can relate to the Jimmy Stewart character because you've traveled so much for work and now you're stuck in the house. Mm-hmm. And we're all, like you said, we're all stuck in the house. But like for you, it's like another layer of like, you know,
it is like,
because
how do
you travel a lot, just like old Jimmy. And
yeah, I mean, I don't usually run out in racetracks and that kind of, I'm doing really boring stuff, like talking to credit card companies in Wilmington, Delaware. Nice. So keep myself humble here. I'm definitely not as good looking or cool as Jimmy Stewart was in the movie.
I disagree.
and I'm not sure. So, you know, fast forward to the end of the movie where, am I going too fast?
No, go for it.
Okay. So end of the movie, Lars, so Lisa breaks into his place.
Yes.
To try to, you know, she's trying to get some dirt. they're convinced that he's killed his wife. And she breaks in. He finds her. The police, he beats her up a little bit, knocks her around anyway. Not, you know, it was 50s sort of innocent, innocent misogyny. I'm being facetious, yes. But yeah, he knocks her around a little bit. Cops come, and so there's a lot of spoilers here because I've just kind of.
Oh, this show is this is a spoiler show. Okay, I should probably say that in the intro.
I don't want to be an asshole, but. So the cops take her away, and she does something to signal to Jimmy that something's going on. She's got, I think, the wedding ring of the wife on, and Lars sees this cue. So he knows she's making a signal to somebody that's watching, essentially. So all that happens, and then he goes up. You know, there's footsteps. Jimmy Stewart's character hears the door open and close, and there's footsteps. It's very suspenseful. You're like, oh no, he's stuck in his wheelchair in a cast and he can't move. And so, but he's very quick thinking. He picks up his flash, and, you know, Lars comes in and he flashes this, you know, bright light in his, so he kind of temporarily blinds him, but it doesn't work. And that's the part I'm thinking, he ends up being saved, you know, in the end, and, you know, they find out the guy was guilty. But I don't know, do you have any thoughts for me on, I wanted to have some kind of more 2021 weapon.
Okay.
Like, yes, that kind of, I'm not a photographer, so I wouldn't have that. I don't have any firearms. That's not my, I don't like guns. So it wouldn't be that. I was trying to think of something maybe more technology.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't think I'm coming up with any clever ideas.
Okay. Well, we're going to work on that one.
But I was imagining, like, spraying hand sanitizer in his eyes.
There you go. Yeah.
It's not as powerful or visual as the flash, which I think that's just a really cool scene. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, I mean, it's so visual.
You know? I mean, Hitchcock really, he was so good at suspense, and especially, you know, you watch some of those movies back now and they really are suspenseful, and it's the music, it's his masterful cinematography, so many things about him that were really different. And and I think Rear Window was one of those. Vertigo was another great one. That was scary. I'm still scared of birds because of that movie.
Is Charade an Alfred Hitchcock movie also? Do you know?
It's not jumping out favorites at me, but it very well may be. I don't know.
I'm checking my little
Charade.
I'm checking my little guide here. Oh, it's not in here. They had to make choices, you know.
Yeah. Vertigo was actually, I loved that one. I think the birds had Tippi Hedren was the female. Hitchcock always had a beautiful blonde, you know, with Psycho, with you know, there was always a beautiful woman. And I'm trying to remember if it was maybe possibly Tippi Hedren in Vertigo too. But then Mel Brooks, did you ever see High Anxiety?
No. Is it like a Vertigo? Like
it's a parody of Vertigo. Okay. So I know you're doing some film marathons, I think it would be fun to watch Vertigo
and then watch
High Anxiety. I mean, Mel Brooks is another classic.
So. I feel like I could do a whole Mel Brooks season.
Oh, absolutely.
I love
and
Mel
I bet
Brooks.
You. I bet you if there are so, like Blazing Saddles. I think if I watched it now, it would be appalling. Because
I did watch it recently. Yeah. Sorry, finish your thought. And then,
well, because I feel like I saw a clip. It was from a different time. And I think, you know, the humor doesn't translate, and is very dated in that way that there's a lot of, racism. It's not gentle in any way. No. It was front and center. So I don't know, maybe high anxiety. I don't know. Probably mental health issues would be people with, with that. Anyway.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a film that is not problematic. Mm-hmm. Ever, you know?
Right. Like,
and then anything that tries to skirt their own inherent bias, like, comes off as, what's the word
Freaky.
I'm looking for? Huh?
Either, yeah, I think, yes.
Like, it's, I don't know. I watched Blazing Saddles a few months ago.
Okay.
And when I watched it, I was like, is this movie really fucked up? Or is it, like, so far ahead of its time? That it's like satirizing things that, like, you know, like that was my mind fuck rabbit hole.
Right.
And I'm probably way overthinking it and it's probably just dated. Right.
I think it was probably in its time, it was an acceptable way to parody some of the inequality
the social ills.
So yeah, but I don't think that it would get made the way that it did today.
Well, I would like to watch Blazing Saddles with you.
I would love that.
We can each have our own dedicated bottle of wine and we'll do it at your house.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll sleep on the couch.
I have a guest room, so that's not necessary.
Because I'm drinking my whole bottle of Reuniti.
Reuniti on ice.
And it feels so good.
I know. Maybe I'm mixing. That was Peaches and Herb, by the way. That song, Reunited. Awesome. I'm also going to look that one up. I'm going to watch that on YouTube. That's going to be a blast from the past.
Well, I have to wrap it up.
I think that was on a KTEL album that I had.
Please find it.
Yes.
I got to go to this thing. And first I got to pee because I drank a whole bunch of wine while we were talking.
All right.
I will ask for clarification about the who can hang out with who when some people are vaccinated question. Because the person we're meeting with happens to be a family medicine doctor.
Okay.
So we'll ask him. And I will be in touch with you soon. Thank you so much for doing this. This was
Thank
so
you.
Fun.
It was an honor to be included and to share my sort of musings.
Well, I loved them. I loved it so much. I loved it. Okay. I love you, Sarah. Have a beautiful day. Mwah. Okay. I'm going to click stop. Sarah, I absolutely love your interpretation of Rear Window. Amazing. Please consider joining me again on a future episode. In this next segment, I will be talking with Jenny Page, exploring mental health hacks and strategies for behavior change. Everyone knows that 2020 was tough. And last season, I talked with my guests about how COVID has affected their businesses, projects, and lives. This season, I'm moving forward with a focus on mental health. So my friend and now show guest Jenny Page has a health coaching practice and an integrative medicine doctor's office in Lakewood. Jenny offers a free 20 to 30 minute conversation with folks who are interested in exploring health coaching. The purpose of health coaching is moving forward and working in partnership with Jenny to make changes in your life. To book a free consultation, call Jenny Page at 303-350-7990. The website for the office where she practices is oimcare.com, which stands for Osteopathic Integrative Medicine. Again, that's www.oimcare.com. Okay, on to today's mental health hacks with Jenny.
Showtime.
It is truly, factually, actually.
Okay, now we're recording. Yay.
So,
to
bring our friends who are listening up to speed, of course, I'm speaking with Jenny Page, local health coach. You can find her at www.oimcare.com.
Yes.
And do you want to throw the phone number out there real quick? Do you have it?
Yes. The phone number is 303-350-7990. And I currently have a springtime special. So anybody that wants to look into coaching and see what that special is all about, give us a call and see what coaching can do for you.
What ages do you work with?
I work with all ages, but with kids, it's certainly kids and it's a whole family approach.
Sure.
So yeah, we definitely look at a whole family or individual.
Love it.
Because the family is needed with the kiddos.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. Mm-hmm. So what we were talking about, and I thought we were recording and I realized we weren't. So for our listeners, this is take two.
Hey, we had a great talk.
We did. We were talking about mental health and the state of the world.
Yeah. So today it is mental health.
Yeah.
It's real mental health. And I think it's time to check in with ourselves and question, how are we really doing? How are we really doing? Check in with your body, check in with your heart, your soul. And we're a year in to this pandemic, and there's light at the end of the tunnel, but yet this will be with us for a while. And as things return to somewhat normal, we're seeing a rise in senseless violence. And that, after this last year, I think, is more impactful on our minds and on our bodies. And it's time to really look at how well are we taking care of ourselves, and how many tools do we have in the toolbox? Yeah. And, or are we even looking at tools? And I think the conversation we were starting to have, Claire, is about folks that their tool is to bypass. Is this emotional bypassing, where things happen in the world and in life and we tune out. And that's understandable, because when we talked about this a few weeks ago, there's the negativity bias in the brain, and we expect to see negativity. There's negativity bias in the media, more so here in this country than elsewhere in the world, and it sells. And it keeps us kind of either hyper-focused on news or tuned out. Either way, it's detrimental. It means that our brains, we really focus on negative events or emotions more than the positive ones, because we're wired that way. And we need to, at times, consciously look at, you know, even though I'm getting all this news, is it telling me anything that I don't already know? And is this really helping me? And that's if you're looking at the news. It's just going to confirm what you already know. It's evidence that supports your negativity bias. Yeah. What do you really need? What do you really need? As you see the shootings start to happen and this senseless violence, what do your kids need? I think now more than ever, perhaps we need some presence to this to really look at how is this affecting us? If it continues to happen the way it's happening and children are, instead of fire drills, they have some serious active shooter drills. And I've been involved in them in my children's schools. And they are, they're troubling. And so kids have more anxiety today. Kids are the ones facing this in their day-to-day reality, where we might be able to go have a glass of wine and tune it out. I think it's time to really look at what can we do to help ourselves regain some sense of presence and support for where we are. And really look at this being an important thing to consider for overall health. Like, your mind is not disconnected from your body. The stress that you feel emotionally is embedded in your body. And there's something called the body keeps the score. So when I see people with chronic pain, guess what? There's emotional trauma there. There's some things to talk about that need to get processed that perhaps there weren't the tools there to manage. So, you know, it's really simplistic to say, here are 10 things you can do for your mental health. It's a lot more complicated, right? Yeah. Because everybody's different. And we could talk all day about how do you deal with the news and how do you talk to your kids about violence. And we could certainly have a conversation about that at some point, but it comes down to, you're going to be a better parent. You're going to be better at self-care if you start with yourself, right? It's like, put your oxygen mask on first. And so the first thing is, when you're feeling stress, or even when you're just recognizing that you're numb, like, how do I feel about those 10 people at King Soopers in Boulder? How am I even processing this? That this is starting to happen again as we come out into the world here. You know, take care of yourself. If you don't feel anything, it's okay. But that means, like, let's start, that means your body's going to be processing it. The stress is in your body if it's not in your, in your emotions. So take care of your body. Taking care of yourself physically can really help your mental health. So eat nutritious meals, exercise, avoid smoking if you can. Water, and sleep. As we talked about last time, sleep is super important. Don't miss out on sleep. Don't stay up watching news. Don't stay up agonizing over this. And if you can't sleep, then that is an indication of there's some other things going on to attend to, right? So lack of sleep really is linked to making depression, anxiety so much worse. And, you know, this is really interesting. And this is, you know, for rebalancing, value yourself. Like, what does that mean? It's like, how can you treat yourself in a kind way with compassion? And we talked about gratitude journaling. If it's hard to get out of that negativity bias and that fear, I mean, you might be in a fight or flight situation. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm feeling unsafe. Or I'm not feeling anything at all. Try to not criticize yourself. Like, your body is physiologically doing what it's doing because of habit, because of pathways neurologically. So, you know, make time for projects, hobbies, try to plan a trip or some excursion, do a crossword puzzle, try to stop the cycle you're in. You know, like, you become a, become fluent in another language, you know, really. But again, I don't want to bypass what people are feeling, but you got to give yourself a break.
Yeah.
And you got to do it in a way where you're not judging yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I need to take a break. For me, I go into my closet and I meditate. Mm-hmm. And that helps my whole nervous system calm down. Mm. And that just makes me a better parent. But also, I know it's going to improve my overall health.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do, Claire, to value yourself and, you know, give yourself kindness and respect? Oh. Besides doing your fabulous podcast.
Well, let me see if I have my phone here. I've got this little app that I use. I think okay. I've told you about it. I haven't talked about it on yeah. the podcast, I don't think.
What is it? What is it again? Because apps are great.
It's called The Fabulous. Mm. And there's a lot of apps like this out there for like habit tracking and goal setting and that kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. I have set a little, at one time it was like a 43 point daily checklist, and I've cut it down. It's like 25 things now that I do every day.
43 things will create some stress. Right yeah, there.
That's why I cut it down.
Yeah.
So, good. So I'm on a streak. Actually, I have a streak of 108 days. I'm on day 109 right now of doing my little thing. And so
listen, you're on fire, because 60 days is really like
the habit
about
setting
3 months
threshold.
2 to 3 months you're honing it in, you're locking it in. Good for you.
So that's I start off the day with a little I feel great today exercise.
Yeah. So valuing yourself, that's great.
Yep. And then I drink water, brush my teeth, floss. I don't know if this actually does anything, but the app tells me that studies show that you can increase your willpower if you clench your fists for a certain amount of time. So I clench my fists for 3 minutes every day. I'm like, it's only 3 minutes. So if it's not working, I don't really care. And then I put in a load of laundry. I make my bed, I stretch, I study Spanish, I exercise, I meditate. That's my morning routine. And then, am I giving you way more information than you're hoping for?
Well, everybody's going to be, you're going to be everybody's guru now.
I
really, really like. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been really helpful. So one of my self-care tasks in here is to clear out my email inbox every day.
Yeah. That stresses me out too. But what's cool is that you hit some of these. You hit the take care of your body. You hit value yourself. You hit quieting your mind by trying meditating, mindfulness, prayer. That improve your state of mind and your outlook. But you also five hit on, you know, learning how to deal with stress. So, you know, coping involves setting realistic goals and doing things, you know, that you are aware of things that stress you out. So your email inbox might sound insignificant, but to you, if that creates stress and you're setting a goal to deal with it, that is a stress reduction strategy. So that's excellent. That's really good.
I just give myself 2 minutes a day. So it still piles up sometimes. But if I spend 2 minutes a day sorting things in folders, getting rid of junk mail, unsubscribing from things, then I get credit. But here's the most powerful thing on my list. I made it up myself, because they have habits in here that they suggest, and then you can also add your own things in here. And so I added this myself. I call it Flex Your Flexibility. And it's giving myself a little grace and wiggle room if I don't finish everything on the list.
I love it. So it's like recognizing I'm human. I'm human. Yeah. And I got a lot to deal with as a mom and, you know, with your family. So excellent.
Yep.
That's
and then
really,
I have
really good.
A daily emotional checkup. I review my schedule before I go to bed. I put away my clean clothes. I stretch again. I have a little gratitude time. I set a purpose for each day. So like this week, I have the same purpose every day, and it's to just reinforce a couple of new habits that I've added. And I started doing a food diary. So,
good.
Sorry. Did you add,
no, I love it. I'm so glad. I love it so much. Now with your food diary, does it include how you feel after you eat? The food and feelings log.
I've been using an app for my food diary, and it just doesn't do that. So do you have a recommendation?
I have a recommendation. Now this is a little bit, it's not off the mental health topic, but when I work with folks on tracking food and those goals, and the tracking and establishing those healthy habits are important, but tuning into your body, not just checking off the list, like this is what I ate.
Right.
It's, well, how do you feel after? So how do you feel before you eat? How do you feel after you eat? Mm. And how did you feel that day?
Yeah.
And then you can start seeing patterns of, and I work with people that have disease and chronic pain. So if you have any sort of pain response, or brain fog or fatigue, you want to put your feelings in there and check in with your body to say, well, was that fuel? Mm. Was that medicine? Mm-hmm. Was my food fueling me and giving me the medicine, the phytonutrients and the sustenance that makes me feel good? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened? Mm-hmm. Well, the next day you're like, oh, I'm in a lot of pain. Oh, I went out yesterday for lunch and Jenny and I had two margaritas. So the next day for me, I would know, okay, that's just the trade-off for me to have fun with Claire. I'm going to be in a little bit more pain the next day. And so you get the cause and effect. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of you can realize you have choice. My mental health,
right.
I'm going to eat what I want to eat, but I know that I can get back on track tomorrow. And I know I'm going to have a day with a little bit more pain. So what?
Yeah.
You know, give yourself a break.
Yeah.
And so I just recommend that for some people, but not everybody needs that. So I just love that you shared that, Claire, and that you're so focused on taking very good care of yourself. That's a really...
Well, it's one of my new hashtag adulting things. Oh, I'm learning to be an adult.
So hard.
That's my goal.
Well, and you're doing it with grace. You're doing it with compassion. Mm-hmm. And it's helping you be like successful. Look at you.
It's definitely...
Your podcast.
I feel... I feel good. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago when we had our little hangout, our socially distanced parking lot hangout when I was feeling terrible. It was just a few months.
It's true. What, November? I don't remember.
So
yeah, it wasn't.
I started doing this and just adding, like I started off with just like a few little habits every morning. I think it was like I just did one habit for a week and it was just drink water. When you wake up.
Yeah.
And then
Love about it, I think what you're, you know, to share with all your listeners out there.
Yeah.
Is that if you feel like crap or you're affected by negative news or collective trauma and you're like, God, I can't do anything about it, or you're kind of paralyzed sometimes, and that's natural. What you're showing, Claire, is that when you take action in a form to move forward, you are empowering yourself just by choice. And so folks here that I work with that have disease that are like, I can't believe anything will change. Right. Make a choice. Bit by bit, take steps to make some choices and take back some control, and that alone shifts things. So, you know, it really, really does help. But then like the final thing, and there's a lot of things on here, there's two things that I want to just point out before we stop. You know, besides kind of taking control, you can give of yourself, like how you decided with your podcast to give something to listeners that is helpful. Not that your whole podcast isn't helpful, but just you wanted to provide some mental health tips mm-hmm. for survival in this mm-hmm. crazy world, right? Mm-hmm. So it is on the list that if you volunteer your time, not like you have to go to the food bank right now or anything, but you look at your time and your energy, and especially you look at things that matter to you that you feel powerless about, there's a way to make a difference. Yeah. And so if you seek out some ability that's tangible to help somebody else in need, give money to the fighting Asian violence right now. Mm-hmm. If you're a gun control person, see how you can get involved. Mm-hmm. That is a way to deal with that stress. That is helpful. Mm-hmm. And it helps you meet people that kind of, you realize out there that there's a lot more helpers. Mm-hmm. So it kind of counteracts the negativity bias when you see how many people want to improve things and do good and are saving puppies and kitties all over the place. There are good, there are more helpers. Like Mr. Rogers used to say, look for the helpers. When you're feeling stressed, look for the helpers, look for the people making a difference. They're out there. And then, you know, I have to say that it says avoid alcohol.
Sorry.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Jenny. I have a recommendation for you and anyone listening who wants an easy way to make a difference. I'm like, it's so easy. You don't have to leave your house. There's this organization called Letters Against Depression. And if you Google Letters Against Depression, you can find them. And you can go onto this site, join as a volunteer, and write letters to people who request them.
Yeah.
And you're helping somebody make it, you know, it's a big deal. And it's safe.
And also that would be good. Wouldn't that be a good access point for people who are depressed, who don't feel like they have, you know, the ability to surround themselves with good people? I mean, having close connections is the number one indicator for mental health and actually overall health. You're going to live longer if you have close friends.
Yeah.
And that's just studied and known. And so having strong family and social connections is huge for mental health. So if anybody needs letters like that, mm-hmm. I imagine that they can access that to get some support that way. And ultimately, in the end, like, seeking help is a sign of strength. Mm-hmm. So if a lot of strategies don't work, there are chemical reasons people get in a rut. And there are things that are very helpful. CBT therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. You know, even antidepressants, like, they give you the boost out of the rut to get back on track and resume some control. And the things that counteract mental health are the things we do sometimes to tune out and numb out, which are drugs and alcohol. Even the recreational ones cause us to tune out to where our bodies are absorbing stress, but our minds are just not dealing. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I ever told you this, that I went to school with Trey Parker of South Park. And so Mr. Mackey, in the show, who's the guidance counselor, was actually a real guy named Mr. Lackey. And so, like, he had to do during the '80s, this drug class, you know, and, you know, drug education. And he just gave us buttons that said, just say no. Okay. Yeah. Just say no to marijuana. Marijuana's bad. Just don't do it. Say no. And that was it. And there's an episode of that. But I'm not telling people not to do things that make them feel good, but in excess, it is detrimental to your mental health. So I'm not going to say don't do marijuana, but just, you know, not to where you numb out and aren't in touch with your body and your mind, you know? Yeah. So anyhow, there's a lot out there for help with mental health. And I think the trauma of this last year, you know, makes it harder right now for some people. So don't try not to be afraid to reach out for help, friends, family. There's hotlines, you know, and people care. People care about what people are going through right now.
People do care.
So they do. There's more people that care than the haters out there.
Yeah.
I just got to say.
Well, thank you, Miss
Jenny. What do you think, Claire?
You're amazing.
You're welcome.
I'm going to click.
You are too. You're such an inspiration, Claire.
I'm going to click stop. Here it comes.
Okay. Click.
Thank you, Jenny. I am so excited to learn more mental health and behavioral change hacks with you. Again, dear listener, you can book a free consultation with Jenny Page by calling 303-350-7990. Well, folks, that concludes season 2, episode 4 of the Casa Bonita podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked the episode, please consider writing us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on our website, www.casabonitapod.com. You can find Sarah Rosenbaum on the security cameras of the Central Park neighborhood and Jenny Page at www.oimcare.com. If you know anyone needing a real estate agent, send them to www.bluebirddenver.com. We would love to help them out, and your vouch means the world to us. Bluebird Real Estate Group is a top-ranked, locally-owned boutique residential real estate brokerage serving the greater Denver and Boulder metro areas. Coming up, I will be talking with, hopefully, I think it's going to be, my friend Cherie, who I talked about on my last episode. It's totally not her fault that this episode wasn't hers. It was a scheduling situation that I had to deal with. So, coming up, we're going to be talking about Midnight Madness, the 1980 film that has a young Michael J. Fox, and he's adorable. So, stick around. You're going to love it. You should probably go ahead and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening so that you don't miss it. Thanks again for listening. Now, you know the drill. Go have a beautiful day, go back to sleep, or whatever it is you're going for.